Why would you sit on a property, for example, for 5 years to achieve a passive income of maybe $50,000 over that 5 years when you could achieve $50,000 profit in the space of 6 months, repeat the process a few times in that financial year, and really leverage that money again and again to grow a lot faster.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with property investor Rod Pascoe, who discusses the secrets behind the property renovations and joint venture successes, and shares the ups and downs of his career and how it all started. Originally from Sydney, Pascoe's life was heavily involved in real estate investing within the family.
Grew up in Sydney and spent the first, part of my life really heavily surrounded by real estate and investing due to my father and family members investing and being involved in real estate. So it was a good and natural start to my inevitable career now.
A typical day for Pascoe begins with meditation and a healthy breakfast.
I wake up relatively early. I like to do some meditation in the morning and focus on my day ahead and also my mid to long-term goals for life. And then I will have a nice healthy breakfast, and most days I swim for an hour or two. I like to do laps in the morning. It really clears the head and sets you up for a good day. I believe strongly that fitness and health is critical to this career, and I guess anything in life that you're trying to achieve.
Totally agree. I just wonder, how do you squeeze in one to 2 hours of laps? Like, are you doing it in a pool, or are you doing it out in like open waters?
Yeah, so I'm in a local pool, and it's good in the morning because it's not too crowded or busy. It's a really good space to get my thoughts together for the day. And yeah,
that's awesome.
And normally after the swim, I'll come back and check some emails, catch up on any maintenance I need to do on current investments I'm holding. Normally I've got a list of things I want to achieve for that day, whether it be organising tradesmen or some town planners, surveyors due to the subdivision, or anything involved around the property side of things to keep things moving.
Pascoe grew up in Western Sydney, but by the age of six, he was caravanning around Australia.
I grew up around the Fairfield area in a suburb called Bosley Park. And later we decided to, well, my family decided to sell up and have a year on the road to travel around Australia in a caravan. So as a young six-year-old, that was an experience that I'll never forget, and really entrenched some great memories in my mind for future life. But we finished up in a small town in Queensland called Childers. Don't know if you've heard of that, but it's very beautiful and rolling hills, green fields, sugarcane, and that's where I spent the second half of my adolescence, going to school and playing sport and doing all the things that young teenagers do.
Does that mean then you actually lived up most of your childhood then in Queensland? I mean, you grew up in parts of Sydney, then you went on the trip and you went up to Queensland. Is that what happened?
Yeah, basically. We did have a short period where we moved back to Sydney, but I think the lifestyle kept calling us back up here, and the family couldn't resist the weather and the lifestyle that Southeast Queensland offers. So that's where I've been ever since.
He didn't always have a clear image of what he wanted to be after high school.
I finished high school. Left school not really having a clear idea on where I wanted to go, but I had a passion for sport and real estate, so I knew it was either going to be one of the two. So I initially tried to pursue swimming, and as you know, it's a tough career to pursue with the early hours of training in the morning and then late afternoon to get to the point where it's gonna be a career. So I did my best, took it as far as I could go, and realized that it wasn't gonna be. So real estate was the next option that I saw fit.
Yep, that sounds amazing. I think it's interesting when I've spoken to a number of people who wanted to pursue swimming. I've actually even had an Olympian on not long ago, actually, talking about his story. And yeah, he said at the end of the day, it's a great career and you get to meet a lot of great people, but financially it can be a strain overall. So I think you've probably done a pretty good job to move into the right direction, because you still need to, you know, feed yourself.
You need to put food on the table, that's right.
Despite some difficulties, Pascoe purchased his first house at the age of 21.
I studied IT for a short period. That was another learning curve for me, realizing that wasn't what I wanted to be doing, stuck in front of a computer all day. I loved being outdoors or out doing physical things. So I tried a few other things, short-term jobs, labouring for builders, night fill at a supermarket, a few random jobs just to get by in your early 20s. You try a few different things to see what fits. But shortly after that, I think around the age of 21, I decided to purchase my own house. And when all the friends were off buying, you know, fast cars and boats and all the toys that the early 20-year-olds buy, I luckily had a small amount of common sense there. I won't say I had a lot back then, but had some common sense.
You're way above the rest, I can tell you that.
And decided to buy my first property. And with a bit of help from my father and a push in the right direction, I ended up buying a little three-bedroom brick house in Bundaberg, which is not far from Childers, where I grew up. And, it was very run down, and but, you know, on the affordable side of things, and that was all that mattered to me, that I could get my foot in the door in the real estate market and go from there.
Excellent. Yeah, it's really interesting, because I think when people are young, you know, they think, okay, let's travel, let's buy all the things that we can when we're younger and don't worry about the future. But the day will come when we realize, oh, great, we need to get our own home. And by then, it's, what, 10,
exactly,
12 years, 15 years down the track when you start earlier. So it's great that you did start young, you know, and as you said, it was a bit of influence from your parents. You mentioned actually at the beginning, parents and family and stuff were all in real estate. Tell me a little bit more about that and you're growing up behind it.
Yeah, so I guess on the influence side of things for real estate, my father was the one who suggested to me to renovate the first house I bought. And shortly after that, also, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad and Steve McKnight's 0 to 130. And all the pieces of the puzzle seemed to come together finally. And it all made sense from a very young age, which was great. It lit a fire inside me, I think, for what could be achieved in life and in wealth creation, and really got me excited and passionate about the future and what I wanted to do.
Fantastic. It's really interesting and inspiring to hear that, because I think it's just getting into the right frame. Like, a lot of children, unfortunately, grow up going to school, learning that, you know, go get good grades, go to university, and then just go out for a job. But if you've got a foundation where your parents are able to sort of have some interest in real estate, or even just give you a book that would inspire you, like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I think it really helps them set up the future for a lot of great things to come, because it's not taught in school, unfortunately, these things.
That's right. That's right. And I really think things around money and financial well-being should be taught in schools, but unfortunately, it's not.
Pasco bought and renovated his first house with the help of his father and low doc loans.
Back then, I don't know if you recall, but low doc loans were still around back when I purchased. So I didn't have full-time employment. I had a small amount of money saved up for a deposit, and I didn't need a large loan to buy the property due to the affordable price range that houses were back then, especially in Bundaberg. You know, it'd be unheard of to be finding properties in a major regional centre now for those sort of prices. But I got the finance and basically from day one started to renovate the property. I still remember the day my father came in with a box of tiles and we pulled up the old carpet, and he said, "This is how you lay a tile," put the first tile down, and left me there with the tiles and the glue and said, "Take it away, it's all yours." So
pretty much you're pretty hands-on from the first get-go, actually, you know.
Yeah, and I think it was good to learn that way, because it helped me understand how all the different trades worked and understood what was involved. So, you know, fast forward to today, where I use all tradesmen to do the work and I just project manage it. It has helped me to understand each trade and really get a good hold on how to renovate a property.
Yeah, definitely. It's a skill that really can't just be read in a textbook. You have to actually do to learn, and then, you know, actually be involved in the process to understand how to manage. I think it's a lot to do with project management. A lot of times you can't manage something unless you've actually done it too as well.
That's right.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into how Rod Pascoe and family grew their portfolio.
After selling that property, I went out and purchased two investment properties, which I still own today, and I just hold them as long-term buy and hold, and they're both positive cash flow properties.
Some of the challenges he faced along the way.
I purchased a property in Bundaberg to renovate, and I don't know if you know, but Bundaberg's had some flooding in recent years.
His aha moment that led him into a path of joint venturing. And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory.
An aha moment for me, and opened my mind up to the possibilities of joint venturing and doing the deals where you get in and out as quick as possible and take the profit.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Pascoe kept the ball rolling by purchasing and selling properties.
A little bit of luck and I guess a lot of hard work, and I turned a good profit from that property. It was a good launching pad to then take my career further. So after selling that property, I went out and purchased two investment properties, which I still own today. And I just hold them as long-term buy and hold, and they're both positive cash flow properties. And really, it was a base to grow from there. I then got inspired by, as I mentioned, the Steve McKnight book, Zero to 130, Positive cash flow properties was just a huge eye-opener to me on real estate. I never thought that kind of thing was possible. So I became focused on just positive cash flow properties and, I guess, increasing the value of the property to achieve more rent. But fast forward today, and I've flipped it all on its head. I really believe that the cash flow side of things comes later when you're, I guess, ready to retire or to hang up the boots from the property side of thing. So now I'm more active, and instead of a passive investment, I'll look to do active strategies like renovation, subdivision. And look, if it is positive cash flow and it's in a good area, I still look to hold it, but mainly focus on the value add and flip the property and move it on.
Definitely. So getting your cash out back quickly so that way you can reinvest it into something else, which will keep generating more cash for you, or so that way you can reinvest it quickly as well.
Exactly. I heard a good quote a while ago that, you know, why would you sit on a property, for example, for 5 years to achieve a passive income of maybe $50,000 over that 5 years when you could achieve $50,000 profit in the space of 6 months, repeat the process a few times in that financial year, and really leverage that money again and again to grow a lot faster.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that's I guess, the capital growth, or not capital growth, capital adding value. I don't know what the word is. It's not equity, yeah. But just cash.
Increasing the capital value of the property. And it's a no-brainer for me now to get in and out of a deal as fast as possible. You know, it eliminates a lot of risk. And due to being doing a lot of JVs now, joint ventures with other people, most people want their money back as quick as possible, as you can imagine. So to be sitting in a deal for too long doesn't make sense when you're doing joint ventures.
No, of course. And I think that's the thing. If you're able to get money, that's the good thing, but people want it back quickly so that way they can be assured and be confident that, you know, the money hasn't been sort of lost over 18 months instead of, say, 6 months.
That's correct. And also you leave a lot more up to chance. If the longer you sit in the market, you know, there's a lot of uncertainties that could happen. The market could drop, and the profit that was originally forecast to be there isn't going to be there in the end.
From the young age of 21 till now, he has managed to accomplish 20 deals.
Last time I sat down to work it out, I think it was close to 20 deals now that I've done. And they're a mixture of renovations and subdivisions. And I'm finding the subdivisions, if you include a renovation with that, that seems to be the ultimate strategy for me right now. So you've got a lot more exit strategies. Instead of just renovating a property and selling the house, you've got the option to split a piece of land off the side of it, sell the land off, keep the house, possibly pay down the loan on the house and have a positive cash flow property, or sell both.
And cash up.
And yeah, take the cash.
However, Pasco's journey hasn't always been smooth sailing.
I purchased a property in Bundaberg to renovate. And I don't know if you know, but Bundaberg's had some flooding in recent years. I think the last one was 2013. It was a 1-in-100-year flood, but I did all the things right, checked the flood maps. They came back as flood waters were nowhere near the property that I had under contract. I thought, great, that's good news. I was 2 months into the renovation, had a new kitchen put in, had the bathroom tiled. So I was well underway, and the property was starting to look really good. And shortly after, around Christmas time, I was away enjoying time with my family and friends, and I heard on the news Bundaberg's having a 1-in-100-year flood, and half the town has gone underwater. So I just remember seeing the news and feeling so helpless, being so far away. I was down in New South Wales at the time, and they've shown some footage of the area where my house was, and all you could see was a few house roofs, but you know, most of the city was underwater in that area. So I drove back up a few days later to see the damage and assess where I was at. I remember going over the bridge, and it just looked like a war zone. You know, there was SES and fire brigade and roads blocked off, and it just mud covering everything. So I slowly made my way down the street where my property was, and either side of me, I've seen houses washed away. I remember seeing a whole house washed away, and all that was left was a toilet still bolted to the concrete slab. Just this image that it's implanted in my mind now. So lots of heartache, you know, like you really, really feel for the locals that were in the area as well. But luckily, I drove up to my property and it was standing there. It was like I don't know if you'd say a diamond in the rough, but it was just amazing to see this house standing there in the middle of vacant lots where houses had been washed away. So
I know in that moment I'll be thinking, gosh, this is opportunity here.
Yeah.
not to make it sound like, you know, harsh or anything like that, but yeah, gosh, if you've got standing, it's like, wow.
That's right. It was definitely built well. The concrete footings that it was on, I think they really had those sunk deep into the ground on that property. But look, to cut a long story short, there was some minor damage. About an inch of water went through, so I had to replace some flooring and some parts of the kitchen, but we got there in the end. The property came up really well. I managed to still turn a slight profit off that property, which was very surprising. And all in all, it was a good learning experience.
Luckily for Pasco, his insurance covered the damages.
I had part insurance cover on that property, obviously because it wasn't fully damaged. The assessor came through and just covered the things that were damaged. So
out of that experience, I guess it's very fortunate that the house was still standing and you could renovate and so forth. But were there more opportunities around there after the flood that, you know, you could have picked up some more other type of properties there, or did you just move on from that particular?
Yeah, well, that's right. I saw it as a way to I guess help the local area out, because business and trades were suffering up until that point. And you know, it's a sad event, but I think the economy, the local economy, did really well out of it due to the amount of work that was required to rebuild that part of the city. So We did see a nice spike in prices around that time, and I capitalized on the event, so turned a negative into a positive, and ended up buying a number of properties, you know, over the space of a year and a half, 2 years, and renovating them and turning them over.
His worst moments in property investment helped him gain experience for the future.
I purchased a property up in Mackay right before the previous mining boom. So did really well, bought it at a great price, did a renovation on the property, and decided to rent the property out. The agent said, look, the market's booming, but rent is also going up due to the mining boom that was happening at the time. So I think my initial rent on the property before renovation was $200 a week. And by the time I'd finished the renovation and the market had moved in my favour, I think I was getting close to $400 a week, almost doubling the rent on that particular property. So I had the option to either sell the property for a profit, as I intended to do initially, or keep it for the cash flow. And I chose the latter and decided to keep it as a positive cash flow property, which was another lesson learnt that the market shortly after that turned for the worse. And Mackay, as a lot of your listeners might know, has been on the bottom of the market for a long time now. So that also ingrained into me the point I made earlier about getting in, getting out, and taking your profit. Because if I had chose to sell that property at that particular time, I would have made a good profit, and would have been able to move on it and roll that profit into other deals.
Ah, okay, gotcha. So do you think any of the rental has covered the amount of profit you could have potentially made, or was it at the moment still just neutral?
Yeah, look, at the moment it's neutral, but back then it was obviously heavily positive cash flow. So, yeah, look, that one's going to be a buy and hold, I think, as a long-term investment, and wait for the market to come back, which there are really good signs up there at the moment that the Mackay market has turned for the better. So we'll wait and see. And I think it's all positive up there at the moment.
Pasco's aha moment led him into a path of joint venturing.
About a year ago, I went through, I don't know if a lot of your listeners will know Matt Jones from Property Resource Shop. And I went through his joint venture workshop and course. And I think just hearing a lot about the deals that were happening from within that community really, really was an aha moment for me, and opened my mind up to the possibilities of joint venturing and doing the deals where you get in and out as quick as possible and take the profit. I was doing joint ventures before that, but his program and his course really, I guess he's put it together in a way that really makes it easy and efficient for people to learn and benefit from, which, you know, I'm forever grateful that he involved me on that weekend and showed me what was possible.
That's excellent. I think being part of great communities like this really help us sort of connect with people, and you never know, the opportunity could come up to help you meet the right joint venture partners, or even more of them, to, you know, on your journey to achieve what you want to achieve as well too. And especially with your skill set, knowing how to renovate and also subdivide, I think it's an amazing thing to know and have. So you mentioned the aha moment was to actually meet the people there. Is that what you mean? Or the joint ventures that you could do there?
I think the whole thing was an aha moment where just seeing the deals that were being done and the way they went into joint ventures and structured them, that was a big aha moment for me.
So inspired by Rod Pascoe's journey and his amazing aha moment, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory, where we'll discuss his strategy.
I really believe in networking and having a good team around you to start with. And I guess the years of being in the game has given me some really good contacts with agents and trades and, you know, industry players that can fast track your progress.
The personal habits which have contributed to his success?
I think healthy eating and exercise, it's the basis of everything. You know, if you've got a healthy mind and body, then everything else will flow from there.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. To jumpstart your week, here's Mindset Monday, where our real success in property isn't knowledge and skill, it's 70% psychology and mindset. Here's this week's mindset tip from wealth coach Jill McIntyre. When we have a problem, or stopper, as you call it, Jill, how proactive are we in finding a solution?
I'm sorry, Tyron, I'm smiling at that one because we're usually not very proactive at all. We usually work on the problem, we manifest more of the problem, and what starts off with a pinprick just absolutely explodes to something that we can't get over it. So coming back to, I haven't got time, I haven't got enough knowledge, I haven't got enough money, they're all stoppers. Mm-hmm. But have you ever thought about how you can find the solution that's going to come up with an answer? I love Albert Einstein's quote, and it goes something like, if I had an hour to solve a problem, I'd spend the first 55 minutes on the problem. But once I found a solution, it would only take me 5 minutes to move forward. So when you are listening to this point that we're just making here, stop and think when you move on with the rest of your day, how good are you at moving forward and finding solutions? Out of every negative, you've got to find a positive. There's got to be a way, and it's moving once again out of your own comfort zone. This is a mindset shift I'm talking about, and there's always a way, so move forward with it. If you need help, more often than not, you've been accumulating negative thinkings and patterns we all do from birth. And it might start from being bullied in the playground, for example. And that feeling and emotion keeps on coming up when you move forward of a rejection, say, for example. So I can't haggle and I can't move forward with an agent where I've got to put in a really 20% under offer into a property because he might laugh at me. And we stop before we start. So to find the solution to that and laugh back at the agent. And it might sound funny, but the more that you can empower your thinking to move past what's been stopping you, you'll feel an energy and excitement that you've never enjoyed before. So take that with you today.